2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Wednesday, this is the NBA Daily Dispatch, brought to you by the good folks over at DFSArmy.com. Hey, if you're not a member with us yet, go to the site, use the promo code PODCAST, gets you 20% off each month of your subscription, comes out to $16 a month, really can't beat that. With the subscription, you get 24/7 access to the best DFS Slack chat in the business with all of our coaches, pros, and like-minded players, Boomer's Ballers cheat sheet, which breaks down each position day by day, updated projections through Taco's VIP simulation, goes through 1,000 simulations a day to get us what we need, and of course, the Domination Station, basically printing money for our folks over here, did a big winner last night. Once again, it's been crushing it all week, so make sure you get over here, check all that out, DFSArmy.com, use the promo code PODCAST. I'm your host, Al Walsh. You can find me on Twitter at 14a.Walsh. Find Keith Hall, the co-pilot on this damn flight, on this soul plane flight. You can find him at Boomer's DFS Daddy. Keith, we're going to the ship, baby.
We are going to the ship. Oh, man. I basically said, you know what? Okay. Here's the deal. There was no word of Alan Williams missing or even being sick or anything all day long. So, you know, I plugged Alan Williams in six of my, 20 lineups. I only ran 20 last night. Of my 20 lineups and good matchup. I like picking on Hassan Whiteside. Usually pretty profitable and was going. I'm doing some stuff around the house and I've got the earbuds in my ear and all of a sudden I hear that on the Heat broadcast that Alan Williams is questionable with an illness and doubtful to play. And I'm like, what? So the first thing I do is I go to Twitter and I start looking. And nothing. And I'm like, all right, there's something weird. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe it's just the Heat, radio announcers just being misinformed. So I wait, and I wait, and I wait, and I'm listening.
Anyways.
And then Leandro Barbosa checks in. And I was like, yeah, Alan Williams isn't playing. So about that time, what was it, about 10, I think 10 minutes later, I check in on Slack after kind of updating everybody, and all I see is about five people go, fight, 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 kind of like the little kids in the schoolyard. Everybody's running to the, where it is, and, all they are, they're swinging and missing and, stuff like that. And I think you had the ultimate line. You've seen better fights in an LPGA match.
Oh yeah.
Who, have some very, very, very attractive, professionals.
Oh yes. The game has gotten a lot sexier over the years.
That is definitely one of the things, especially, Okay. They used to come to Tulsa every year, and then John Q. Hammonds decided that he was investing too much money to sponsor a golf tournament in Tulsa, Oklahoma, so he decided not to bring it back anymore.
I have no idea who John Q. Hammonds is, but go on.
Oh, my gosh, dude. He's one of the biggest hotel – he's one of the biggest hotel guys.
I don't
guys.
Know all these Oklahoma hotel tycoons. I mean, they don't teach us to –
Not in Oklahoma, dude, in the country.
All right. Well, I know Rockefeller. He's more my style.
So you're comparing John Q. Hammonds being a three-star to your Rockefeller five-star.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, we hear fight, 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 fight. And then almost nobody's saying who. And then all of a sudden you hear Ibaka and Robin Lopez. And if you go straight to the cheat sheet, Serge Ibaka was on the cheat sheet. Luckily, because of some issues my parents had with their vehicle, I did not get the chance to manually force Serge Ibaka into any lineups, thankfully. But I did have Robin Lopez. Unfortunately, I only had one lineup with Robin Lopez and Alan Williams in the same one. So there's another one. So I'm down. It's not even 8 o'clock yet, my time. And I'm down to 11 out of the 20 lineups are live. And then I see Boogie starting to go off. Or he was probably already going off at this time. And I look, and I only have one lineup with Boogie. That one lineup has, you know, some other good pieces, but had some duds as well. And I'm like, all right, my night's done. Time to go to the World Baseball Classic. You and California people, I love you. You are awesome. You are probably the safest place to hold a tournament in the United States in the middle of March. But my God, you guys have not had that much rain in 50 years, and you choose last night to do it. You couldn't wait 2 days. Now, I know this is not their fault, but, I mean, that could have played a major impact last night. Luckily, it didn't. That's the last.
I was gonna say, I think it did with the winning run from the U.S.
No, I think he just booted it.
As Carlos Liston, I forgot the pitcher's name. Mound dude, I believe there's a little dew on the ball. maybe he couldn't grip it. So.
Now we're quoting what is it? Rookie of the Year back to the minors, or is that Major League?
Major League Three. Yeah, Major League Three. Back to the minors.
Or was that Little Big League?
No, that was Major League Three.
Okay,
I know it's so hard.
Carlos Liston. Yeah, that's right. So yeah, a little bit of dew on the ball. I don't think that it was. I think the guy just kind of booted it a little bit. I think he made a bad play on the ball, and it took kind of a. He got the hop that he was expecting, and Brandon Crawford forced the issue, which is something that we know is DFS players that Brandon Crawford likes to do a lot. That could have made a huge, huge impact in the game last night, and luckily it didn't. Even if it was just that one play, it's not like Japan didn't have their opportunities to score or tie the game or even go ahead and win the game. So. That was good. We're going to the ship against Puerto Rico. I don't agree with I didn't agree with the idea of throwing Tanner Roark last night either, but especially when I saw the weather report and you're getting a ground ball pitcher, throwing pitches and having these Japan hitters beat the ball into the ground when it's wet, that didn't make sense. But I don't agree with the fact that we're starting Marcus Stroman. Make no mistake about it, though, he will have a short leash. He can get into a jam and he can allow a run, but he's got an extremely short leash.
I enjoy some Marcus Stroman, Duke graduate. Gotta love that
too,
about
the
guy. I do
too. But come out the last time and allow six straight hits.
He had a good outing here too in the what was that against
his first outing was nails and
who the hell was that again? I can't remember these countries anymore.
It was against
Puerto Rico or Dominican Republic?
No,
Dominican.
Was it the Dominican?
Yeah, because Nelson Cruz was on the team. I know that.
Okay,
that was the one with Cruz and Cano.
Yeah,
and all those other fellas.
Okay, so. And I have to say this, after that first inning, Stroman buckled down and he was nails. It was awesome.
I have faith in him.
But you can bet your ass that if he allows six straight hits today, he probably won't see the second inning.
Yeah, that's a safe bet, especially in the final game here. And one more thing, we need the fans out there today. I know it rained last night in LA, and you know the Californians were probably cultivating all that water that they've been shorted by for years
and
years.
Dude, it's culture shock. But they've never experienced anything like that before.
Make it out to the ballpark tonight, people. I am sorry, but like Miami did a great job of getting there. I would definitely be there if I were in the area because. You know, obviously, how often are you going to see the United States in any sort of game like this in baseball?
Hopefully
but,
every 4 years.
get to the ballpark, people. And at least, I'm watching the replay right now, at least the Japanese trumpet band will not be at the game because I can't stand that shit.
Oh, I thought it was awesome.
Bongo drums.
No. I think it's as a National League West guy, I much rather prefer the Japanese trumpet band over those stupid drums that they play over those damn speakers in Chavez Ravine. Oh my God.
I'm more of a drum guy, you know, and obviously
I love the drums from
my love of the motion picture Major League and Major League 2. But you got to have that. I mean, I felt last night like we were watching baseball on Bourbon Street. That's exactly what it sounded like. And, you know, we can't have that in the WBC.
Well, you got to understand, that's their version of the organ in Japan. That's what they do. Because
you said that. I'm an organ guy.
If you noticed, each Japanese player had their own song. That's like their walk-up song. And they play it the whole time they're at bat.
Okay. I don't like that. That's enough.
Japanese.
I got kicked out of a high school game one time because I brought an air horn, and I was beeping it when the pitcher was about to throw. So you know that's not right.
Yeah,
that's
we hated people like you, by the way.
Yeah, well, I only came to one game because you know I was busy with other stuff. But yeah, there we go. We are in the ship. We will all be watching tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern on MLB Network. So make sure you're there. 8 games for the NBA slate today, though. So basically, if any of you are wondering, this is the timestamp.
Hold on, I have to ask you one thing, and I know it's baseball related before we get into this. But FanDuel released their scoring and they've made a change.
I saw.
For those of you that don't know and that are going to be playing baseball with us, I don't know yet how to interpret it. I know what my initial reaction is, and it's probably not I don't know if it's popular or not. I haven't really looked. But FanDuel is now giving 6 points for a quality start, and they are devaluing the win, which I do like, mind you, from what was it, 12 points last year? It was 4 times 3,
yep.
So it was 12 points down to 6. So now the win is actually technically worth more on DraftKings than it is on FanDuel because you get two pitchers, and they're worth 3 points rather than – you know, 2 points. So, I don't like the quality start because
I love it, but we'll take sides on this.
It takes out, you know, it's something the pitcher has no control over or not. Maybe not no control, but they have more control over it than the win. But they still don't have quite as much control because, if it's a 3-2 game in the bottom of the sixth and there's one out and your pitcher allows a base hit, most managers nowadays, they've got a sixth inning guy that's in the bullpen that's ready to go. You're getting screwed out of that.
But I think the main thing here is how many times have we had a pitcher go, you know, 8 innings, 10 strikeouts, and then the bullpen comes in and blows the win? You know, at least your guy is still going to get those points for a quality start. What I think here is happening is they're placing more emphasis on the actual pitcher's performance rather than leaving everything up to the bullpen. And I think that's okay. So if you get both the quality start and the win, you know, your whole package did it all together, that whole pitching staff. So
here's an easy way to fix. I agree with you. I think that is one positive aspect of it. You know, there, that was something that we used to, you know, that we were screaming at last year. You know, our guys would go out and throw eight innings of one run ball with, you know, 11 strikeouts, or, you know, even if they didn't get a lot of strikeouts, just eight innings of one run ball and like four strikeouts.
Sure.
You know, you're in the bullpen, or there was an unearned run that was allowed, and your guys are down, and you guys are down to, or your team's down 2-1. And they don't end up winning, or even if they do come back and win in the bottom of the ninth after, you know, the bullpen's already come into the game, you know, you're not getting the win. And that could, that really does kind of screw it up a little bit. So I can see, I didn't think of it as the aspect of, you know, allowing your pitcher to kind of get more credit than, leaving it up to the bullpen. But again, I don't like leaving fantasy points up to the decisions of other people. And that is something like the managers do. You know, I mean, this, because basically this is what this does for me. Just, you know, and I haven't looked at a lot of the numbers, but just off the top of my head, this takes guys like Tyler Anderson, John Gray. Because in tournaments, I love throwing those two guys when they're at Coors Field, because they perform Chad Bettis when he was, you know, healthy. Those guys perform very, very well in Denver. It takes them off the table almost for me, because I don't know how Bud Black's gonna, what kind of leash they're, and honestly, it's gonna be a complete crapshoot the first month of the season. And we're not going to see a lot of quality starts unless a guy's just being ultra efficient and just mowing guys down, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, again, what it does too, remember, you might not get points for those quality starts, remember. Now you can still get your points for the wins. I feel like, you know, this might place a lot more emphasis on the pitcher guy, you know, like your Kershaws and, you know, all your aces, maybe like a Straws even. But I think it's okay. You know, I think we'll learn to adapt. We learn to adapt to, you know, all the multiplying of points last year. Not that it was a big deal. It was just a different visual look. But again, I think everything will be fine. And, you know, the pitcher does deserve to get some quality. And again, look, if your pitcher does his job, you know, none of this matters. You're still going to get your points. But I think there are more instances where a pitcher has a quality start and doesn't get the win than there is, you know, some shitbag pitcher, you know, not in the other scenario, basically.
Yeah. And I mean,
we can't talk today.
That's
not a good sign.
We haven't really dug into all the stats, although we are adding all this stuff in there. And, you know, I'm going to start looking a little bit later to go in and, you know, kind of go in and, you know, really, really start digging into quality starts, you know, what teams allow the most quality starts and, you know, stuff like that.
Oh.
So we can kind of incorporate that into the, I'm glad they did this 2 weeks in advance rather than, you know, 3 days in advance, but it is something that we're going to have to adapt to. And, I don't think it's going to be as big of a deal at the beginning of the season, but, you know, if your guy goes out and throws seven innings of, you know, shutout baseball, say John Gray goes out and gets 10 strikeouts in Denver, okay, allows one run, and the Rockies ended up scoring six, and he gets the win. Holy God. Right. Because nobody plays John Gray in Denver. Nobody, never. You know, and he's actually better in Denver than he was on the road last year. But, oh my God, can you imagine? And if you're laughing at me thinking that it's not possible, whew. Oh boy.
Oh so, boy. All right.
We got eight games. NBA. Let's have some fun.
Let's do it.
Let's try not to get into fights today.
Oh, we'll be fine. We'll be fine.
We'll be fine. Charlotte, I'm worried about the players that we tell people to
get. Yeah. Charlotte Hornets at the Orlando Magic opens up as a 4-point favorite here for the Hornets. -210 on the money line. Over under here is at 207. Hornets have won all three meetings this season. And here are the key numbers here, okay? Where the hell did they go? 21, 19, and 40. Those are the point differentials of all Hornets wins against the Magic this season. Hornets are 8-3 against the Magic in their last 11 games. Seven of those they have covered against the spread. And seven of the last 11 Hornets-Magic games have gone over the total. We've got the Hornets here with some injury news. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is questionable with the ankle injury. Ramon Sessions and Miles Plumlee both out for the Hornets in this one. And then news just came down not too long ago. Jeff Green out with the back injury for the Magic. Both teams against the spread, not very good in their situation tonight. But I'm a little intrigued here by the fact that the Hornets are only minus 200 on the money line. And, you know, I laid out all those point differentials for them against the Magic this season. So this is certainly an interesting scenario. And I may say upset alert at some point.
Really now?
Yeah, man.
I don't know about upset alert. Look, I think this is the time of the year that if John Wall wants to put himself in the conversation, or not John Wall, oh my God, if Kemba Walker wants to put himself in the conversation of elite point guards with guys like John Wall, Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry, Damian Lillard, you know, those guys, that he needs to step it up and lead this team. This is a very, very talented team. The Charlotte Hornets are one of the funner teams for me to watch on a day in and day out basis, because I mean, realistically, 1 through 5, they have viable fantasy starters that we can play depending on the matchups, and that's not the case for everybody that, you know, in the NBA as far as their starting lineups. Obviously, you've got to look at Kemba Walker, even though he is on the road. I believe he's got some pretty good stats in Orlando. And going up against the likes of Elfrid Payton and DJ Augustine is never something I'm afraid of. I think you can also look to Nicholas Batum here. I mean, really, honestly, 1 through 5 you can make a viable case for playing tonight.
Yeah, certainly. Nicholas Batum, you just talked about, he's had very good consistency here against the Magic this season. We're talking about FanDuel point totals here, 45.2, 38.8, and 36.2. The one thing you have to keep in mind, though, is, you know, he just returned to the lineup 2 games ago. I believe he's only maxed out at 31 minutes in these last 2 games, so definitely something I would take a look at. But again, you know, you really can't argue with that consistency that he's put forward. Marvin Williams is another guy that I like here. You know, just going up against Aaron Gordon, who ranks 87th out of 94 power forwards in terms of defensive real plus minus. He nearly triple doubled against this same Magic team 12 days ago. He had 12 points, 18 rebounds, 7 assists. Good for 45.1 FanDuel points there. So these are my favorite two options, but again, you make a convincing case to have you know, both sides of the coin covered here, or all sides of the coin covered here with the Hornets.
Okay, last game for Kemba Walker was the 28th of December. It's the only time he's played in Orlando this season. He actually has not performed well against Orlando this season, which is very shocking to me.
Yeah.
But with that said, because he's averaging 28 FanDuel points per game this year, and he's only played over 30 minutes once, though. So this might be where everybody chases the Kemba Walker. I'm going to have to kind of do a little bit of research. I want to go the opposite of where everybody else is going in this one. Like,
yeah, I would say you got to think about Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. If he's not going to be in for this game, then, you know, that kind of opens up some minutes for some guys that we haven't discussed yet, but just something to keep in mind.
Yeah, exactly. I do like if Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is out, I do like Jeremy Lamb. I think he's going to play that 2-3 wing. That also opens up a little bit more run for, you know, Marco Bellinelli. These are two guys that can play the two and the three with the starters and with the backups. Jeremy Lamb plays a little bit of that backup point guard role when they go big with the starting unit or with the backups, and he plays that two guard role when he plays with the starters and plays with Kemba and MKG and stuff like that. So, you know, both of those guys, they're a little bit cheaper. Bellinelli's the bare bone minimum. Jeremy Lamb's is all the way up to 5,100. In tournaments, I would prefer probably Bellinelli over Jeremy Lamb.
Ooh.
Just because, you know, he's cheaper and he's, you know, still going to play close to 30 minutes, and I think he's going to be lower owned. And he can still go for, what, 20, 25 probably?
Sure.
Without MKG on the court. And I think people are going to automatically just pivot to Jeremy Lamb. So, who's got a better fantasy point per minute because he's not as reliant on scoring, but for cash games, you're probably looking at Jeremy Lamb if MKG is confirmed out. If
I'm sorry, douche, I am probable. He is MKG. I just saw it.
Okay. So pretty much everything I just said is.
Sorry about that. Yeah, when I do my notes for the day, I go off the tag that's there on the FanDuel page, and I basically, if they have a tag next to them, I call them questionable, and I mean to go back and check them, but sometimes I just completely forget.
Alan Walsh.
Yeah, a douche.
How many times have we told our subscribers to not rely on the sites to give us our information?
Well, hold on a sec here. What you're doing is not what I mean to do. I put the tags there when I do my notes, and then I go back and I check. I just didn't go back and check what was going on there.
Okay.
Don't give me a scolding on national radio. Don't you do it, bro.
I'm just saying, if we're going to preach it, we might as well live it.
Sure, fair enough. any interest in these Magic players? Again, this could be a good tournament option. And, you know, I'm a little skeptical here with this money line for the Hornets. I think it's way too low. So any interest in these Magic players here?
Yeah, Evan Fournier is kind of interesting. I know he's got a difficult matchup against Nicholas Batum, but it's still something that I don't mind going to. It's not the, like I said, the best matchup in the world, but
sure.
It is something that, you know, if Fournier gets hot, he can definitely, you know, give you a 7-8x on his salary pretty quickly. So I don't mind that there. Nikola Vucevic is always interesting.
Yes.
And I believe he has tore up the Hornets over the last couple years.
Well, he missed the last game against them, but prior to that, I believe he had, 39 FanDuel points against in this season. He got caught in the other one this season in the midst of that whole Biombo, Vucevic, Ibaka sort of thing. So there was that, but I'm not sure about prior to this year. Anything on that?
He's got April of last year, he only played 20 minutes, but anytime he's played over 27 minutes, there's only been one time he hasn't got to 29 fantasy points, which is kind of weird. Now, that the last time they did play, he only played 26 and a half minutes, and he scored 39 fantasy points. So that 39 yeah. was in, you know, basically 27 minutes, which is phenomenal. So I don't mind that. What are we doing with Aaron Gordon here?
I could probably do without him, but I was hoping we'd cover Elfrid Payton first, but okay.
I was kind of.
I don't know. What do you do? I really wasn't even thinking about Aaron Gordon. I was thinking more Elfrid Payton. So you could do the Aaron Gordon slideshow if you want, and I'll do the Elfrid Payton one.
Well, I mean, Aaron Gordon, his price is starting to drop again. He's not getting You know, he's down to 5,400. He was up to, I think, 60, what was it, 67, 68. He's starting to show signs of actually being aggressive again. He's playing the minutes. The problem is he's not, you know, really contributing on the rebounding part of it as much. We know he's a physical freak. We know what he can do. And this isn't a bad matchup. I would call it more of a neutral matchup, depending on if he gets matched up with Frank or Marvin Williams. I think I'm off of Aaron Gordon, and it's nothing more than just that he's too expensive for me to see really any upside.
Okay. I mean, look, Marvin Williams, he has struggled at times. Yeah, he's down on the list in terms of defensive real plus minus for power forward. So, yeah, I think that's okay. You know, Jeff Green being out could spike his minutes up a little bit. He has played 34 and 32 in the last two. You know, not too far off 30 there. So, yeah, I guess, you know, this would probably be a better cash game play. The matchup could give him a little more boost, but I would say more cash than GPP. Let's move it over to Elfrid Payton real quick, just because I was so impressed by his second half slash overtime of that last game. We all pretty much wrote him off for dead here in the Army. Well, everyone that had him, anywho, on Monday night. So he gets, what, 3,006 minutes, a 3.9 on FanDuel at the half. He ends up finishing with 35.6, making value and, you know, just being a real, real Weisenheimer with all that kind of stuff. But look, the guy's been right at 5X value or exceeded it in four of the last five games. I think this could be a good way to go, especially if, you know, the Magic are going to have that big game today. I'm going to leave it up to that trio of Elf, Fournier, and Vuk. I think, you know, all three of those guys are probably the way to go. And then I don't mind that Aaron Gordon play if you want to get crazy.
Oh, I wasn't advocating. I was just asking your opinion on it. yeah, I think I'm kind of off of Elfrid Payton. He's, you know, $7,000 now, $7,100. It's not like Kemba Walker. It's not like this is a bad match or a good matchup for him. And he kind of excels in those good matchups. I think he's going to be popular, and I think I don't want to deal with him if he's popular. He's kind of one of those guys that, you know, almost seems to know when he's chalk and when he's not, and he does better when he's not. So I think I'm out. Domination Station doesn't really like him a lot either.
Okay. That's all we have to say about it then. We should just do a pod on the Domination Station. Like, this is what this guy thinks.
Yeah, because the Domination Station, we know, knows yes. all. So, just to give you an idea of where, you know, Elf is as far as, you know, point guards is concerned. He is 8th on the list.
Oh my. Now, is that total points or?
Yes, that's total points. If you want to go with value, he's even farther down on the list.
Oh no. Oh no, Elf.
Guys like Jamal Murray, Jameer Nelson, Ish Smith, Malcolm Brogdon are all ahead of him as far as, you know, dollar or points per dollar. So I think I'm kind of allowing that to make the decision for me and gonna get off of it.
Fair enough. All right, let's go to our next game here. We've got the Indiana Pacers at the Boston Celtics in this one. Celtics won both meetings, both in Indiana, both, you know, right there around that 6-7 point margin because that's where they were. 7 of the last 10 Celtics Pacers games have gone under the total. Both teams absolutely pathetic in their against the spread marks here. You can see that on my article today. I'm not going to go through it here. There's just way too much. No injuries or no significant injuries for either team. And I don't really have a favorite from either side. So you can take this one away, my friend.
I don't know what to do with Isaiah Thomas. Like, in theory, this is a good matchup that we should be able to attack. But it's not like he's been, you know, the lights out type of guy that we saw earlier in the season, and his price is still kind of up there a little bit. I don't mind Jeff Teague in this matchup. In fact, I really do like Jeff Teague in this matchup. Obviously, we talked about, you know, going against point guards against Boston is kind of been profitable this season. He's got the best, you know, single one-on-one defense or matchup on the board as far as the point guard position of the night. I think I'm out on Paul George. I think he's going to be a little bit over-owned for my liking because of what he did the last game.
Oh, come on. You don't think he's going to show Boston what could have been?
Yeah, I don't think he cares. I think he would have wanted to go to Boston, to be completely honest. I think he wanted to go to Boston. The guy I do have a lot of interest in here, though, is Al Horford. And in same aspect, Miles Turner. Both of these bigs should be able to have very, very productive games tonight.
Yeah, something's in Al Horford's drinking water lately. He has really stepped it up here over the last couple of games. You know, I know his best performance in the last handful of games has come against the Philadelphia 76ers, and you know, two of those were without Isaiah Thomas too. But again, much like a Brook Lopez, for instance, how Jeremy Lin kind of creates more room for him to get a shot, Isaiah Thomas is going to do the same thing for Al Horford. And you know, it's amazing how good Al Horford is from the perimeter. You know, he's got one of the most unorthodox shots I've ever seen in my entire life, but the damn thing goes in. You take a look at his last four games here. We're talking about FanDuel points, 43.8, 38.6, 50.6, 39.3 at a salary of $6,700 there on FanDuel. That is pretty damn appealing. I really don't know what his price on DraftKings is. I'm going to look it up and try to act like I have the answer in due time. I don't. Do you know what his price is over there?
Sorry, I was taking a drink.
Al Horford's. You were trying to drink Al Horford's drinking water.
Yeah,
you?
No kidding. Whatever he's drinking, I want some of it. Yeah. He's $6,600.
Okay, yeah. So that even a little better. Yeah, I like Al Horford. I'm glad we had this talk.
Yeah, and in same aspect, Miles Turner's $5,700 on DK. So.
Okay. Now I don't know that it's going to be like the best play, but I do know, you know, shooting guards against the Pacers, we've been able to do it before. Could be an interesting Avery Bradley spot. Not going to say profitable, but could be an interesting spot here.
It could be a very, very interesting and profitable Avery Bradley spot, in my opinion. He's been playing more minutes. There's no more minutes restriction. Now we're just kind of waiting for a shot to get back. And the reason I say that is over the last couple games, he started to actually be a little bit more aggressive, which is good. That's what we like to see. And he took, 16 shots, 14 shots, 13 shots, 12 shots the last four games. He's hitting them. Against Washington, was that an overtime game? Washington-Boston?
Against Washington?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. So against Washington in 34 minutes, and this is the third straight time we've seen him play 34 minutes, right. 8 of 16, 4 of 8 from beyond the arc. That's the best he's shot. It's not. Never mind. That's the most three-pointers he's shot since coming back, other than the second game he was back, third game. Something like that.
Yeah, one of the underrated parts of Bradley's game too is his rebounds. Up to the time he was getting injured, he was averaging a career high in rebounds per game. Last game there against the Wizards is where we really saw it come back to play. You know, obviously him trying to get back in the groove. I think he was, more just trying to get comfortable, not necessarily go for the rebounds. But as you mentioned, 34 minutes in each of the last three games. I think he's finally, back to being where he needs to be on the court out there. And we're talking about the minutes going up for him. I think, as you can see, those 34 minutes started when Isaiah Thomas, wasn't playing. So I think that allowed him to ease more into those minutes and then, just continued on in the last game there with against the Wizards.
Exactly. So, you said it, career high in rebounds, this season so far. So, he's definitely somebody that, we have to really, really pay attention to. I love Avery Bradley. I love his game. I don't like picking on him, on the opposite end of the court as well. So that kind of takes out the CJ Miles, that takes out all of those guys. But I do like Avery Bradley in tournaments tonight.
You know what that trip was? That trip was going to Walmart for a pack of gum, and we ended up leaving with like half the damn store.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's get to the next one here. We've got the Detroit Pistons at the Chicago Bulls. On this one, we've got a line of -2 for the Pistons, which is interesting. This started out as a -1 for the Bulls in this one. I guess now let's get through the lines here before we get into it. -125 for the Pistons on the money line, and the total of 199 has stayed the same. Real quick, is Robin Lopez going to be suspended tonight, or does he play and then they have the hearing on it later?
I don't know how that's gonna go. I would think what's gonna happen is one of two ways. He's gonna get suspended. He's either gonna take it or he's gonna appeal, which I don't know why he would, but that could be the way he goes. And then he plays tonight. look, the Bulls need to make up their mind on whether or not they want to just, well, they're, like we talked about yesterday, they're kind of in no man's land.
Right.
That's something. They had a good one last night. Robin Lopez was having a fantastic game, and then I don't want to make any opinions, but him and Serge decided to get a little testy and go from there. But okay, so if Robin Lopez plays, I think you can play him. I think he is a good play. Okay, I think you can pair him with Rondo or Butler, but not both. Any disagreement so far?
Nope.
Okay, if Robin Lopez is out and he accepts the suspension, if it comes down today, which I'm assuming since the Bulls play today and there's not a day, since the Raptors don't play today, they can, if the Bulls didn't play today, they could have kind of, waited and then announced the suspension like tomorrow or something. But since the Bulls play today, they're going to want to get out ahead of this, in plenty of time. If Robin Lopez accepts the suspension, which he would be an idiot not to, that brings into play Cristiano Felicio.
Yes.
Okay.
Who is
Now,
also banged up a little bit himself.
that's exactly what I was about to say.
Yes.
Cristiano Felicio is going to be the automatic, as of currently, default chalk option of the night as far as value, until we get more word on what else can open up and, go from there. I am not playing Cristiano Felicio. I don't care if he's $2,000 on FanDuel. He is banged up. He has not played an extended run of minutes in a very long time. And it is not something I want to deal with because I'll have to look at the exact statistics as far as size. But, I mean, the guy hasn't played more than 24 minutes in a long time, and 24 minutes was against Memphis. I mean, this is, yeah, he's min price. I would play him more on DraftKings than FanDuel. FanDuel, I don't think I need to go there because the pricing is a little bit softer. DraftKings, the pricing is a little bit sharper. So yeah, sure, if you want to go there, you can. But I would only do it for cash games because I don't think he has any upside whatsoever. Yeah, I'm not. I have no interest in this whatsoever. Here is a pivot, though, that I think
Okay.
we could go to. Joffre Lauvergne, especially on DraftKings, because Joffre can shoot the three. Joffre hasn't played a lot of minutes either, but he at least has a ceiling that is above what Felicio has shown. Joffrey Laverne is going to pull possibly can still bang. I mean, he's a 7 foot, 275 pound dude that can step out and shoot the three. I just don't know what Hoiberg's gonna do. I would love.
Well,
I will probably have Laverne in a couple lineups on DK today. I'm probably not going to go there on FanDuel because I make a limited amount of lineups right now on FanDuel. But on DK, where I'm scripting, I'll probably have some exposure to Joffrey Laverne and no Feliciano. That's probably going to be my pivot. And I hope that it stays under the radar and we can get Laverne at under 1%. And I would love for him to drop like a 30.
All right. Couple interesting things to look at here. Since we were wondering about Rolo there at the beginning, didn't get to go through all the fancy numbers and stuff. But interesting thing to know, both teams are on the back end of a back-to-back here. Each home team in the series has won. So the Pistons have won two. The Bulls won. All three of these games have not been close. All settled by double digits more. And here's an interesting thing, too. On the back end of back-to-backs.
Are any of those without Dwayne Wade?
Because
that makes a difference.
I'm sure. Here's the thing. The Pistons are 3-10 on the back end of back to backs this season, while the Bulls are 8-7 on the back end of a back to back. And just as you alluded to, a lot of those probably without Dwayne Wade. It is interesting though how with both and how the line really changed on this one. I understand at the open. Been Bulls minus one, but for it to go 3 points here and then in favor of the Pistons, that's a little bit troubling too. I still think Jimmy Butler, Rajon Rondo, they're gonna have to do a lot of heavy lifting for the Bulls no matter what. So I could be pulled in by that sort of thing. I mean, we saw a similar type of point guard in Spencer Dinwiddie do pretty well last night against the Pistons. In terms of filling up the stat sheet and whatnot. So, obviously, Dinwiddie is the Rondo light of this discussion. But, I think Rondo could do pretty well here. Even though it's a back end of a back-to-back, he has struggled. But, again, this is the time of the season where you got to try to throw all that stuff out the window because both teams are trying to make the playoffs. Pistons suffered that horrible loss last night by my Brooklyn Nets. What a buzzer beater. But
Brooke Lopez.
Yes, of course. But for me, pretty much in this game, it's going to be Butler and Rondo, and then, we'll wait to see what happens. I'm going to like Rondo a lot more if Lopez is out. And, you talked about it a little bit, but it would make sense for Lopez to take that suspension now on the back end of a back-to-back. Like, this would be the best time for him to do it. Just try to not miss as much time, use this as a rest day. But, there's also the chance that he sees multiple games for, throwing a punch. You got to take that into account, Tim.
I kind of expect it to be multiple games for both Serge and, Rolo. So I'm not thinking it's just going to be a one and done type thing. I think it's going to be multiple games and it's kind of funny. I think that Rondo, if I'm playing him tonight, which I'll probably have a little bit of exposure to him, I think he's better, because his shot, his scoring ability is always questionable. I think he's better worked in a pairing, if that makes sense. Like if you pair him with Butler or with Laverne or with, somebody else in there. Obviously the ideal combo would be Butler and Rondo, but, just because he can, he can drop 15 assists. Well, if he's dropping 15 assists, I want where he's, dishing the ball to. And then if he gets me 15 points, then that's just the added bonus. But, I think that in my Rondo teams, I'm going to have another Bull in there with him. I don't think I'm going to play him solo.
Fair enough. All right. On the Pistons side of things real quick, anything that makes sense? I'm sure Tobias Harris is going to be pretty popular tonight, but prior to last night, he really wasn't doing that well. So this could be an interesting fade spot.
Yeah, I think that this is a good time to kind of, where everybody else is reacting a day late and we were on it yesterday. I think this is a great time to get off just because of the elevated spike in ownership. Power forward's not a great a deep position today, so I don't mind that. Andre Drummond, obviously, even if Robin Lopez was playing, Andre Drummond would be a good play. KCP again, he's got a good matchup. I don't mind a little bit of exposure to him. What's your reaction to Ish Smith?
He is listed decently high on our on the domination station today, as Rondo is. He's all over the joint. But oh man, what are you gonna do, right? Because
I
Russell
wanted to
Westbrook's.
play.
Well, here's the thing: Russell Westbrook's on the slate, so you're not playing him. So you just got to make a choice: Rondo or Smith, basically.
Yeah, I wanted to play him last night, and I didn't. And I don't want to feel like I'm chasing because I thought it was a good spot last night, and Reggie's kind of, extremely volatile, especially with Van Gundy. I don't think Van Gundy and Jackson kind of mesh well together. I think Reggie needs a change of scenery, maybe even a change of attitude.
Oh.
But yeah, I don't think I want to chase that from last night, and it's probably going to bite me in the ass. I think he's an option in cash games for or in tournaments for value. If you do feel like you want to go there, but I don't think that I'm going to just because it to me it's going to feel like chasing.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's move along here. We've got in our next game, we got the Atlanta Hawks at the Washington Wizards. Wizards 7-point favorite, firm throughout the day, has not moved. -305 on the money line, 214 total, has not moved either. Vegas seems like they know what they're doing here. Wizards lead the season series 2-1 over the Hawks. After losing the first one, they won the next two. 11 of the last 17 Hawks Wizards games have gone over the total. Hawks not very good against the spread in their situation. 7-15 against the spread in their last 22 games. 3-11 against the spread versus their own Southeast division. And then we've got the Wizards here. Nothing really to write home about. Just 5 games under 500 against a spread at home. Couple injuries to note here for the Hawks. Mike Dunleavy is probable with the ankle injury. It'll be his first time back in a while. And then Paul Millsap and Kent Bazemore both out with knee injuries. For the Wizards, no injuries that we really have to bring up that really focus any or change focus on anything. So, okay, last game with the Wizards. I'm sorry, with the Hawks, we kind of relied upon them on so much value, and they ended up just absolutely shitting the bed. Any chance that they come back strong here tonight?
Yes. I've got a hot take in this one, and I kind of already have touched on it in the Slack channel today, but
All right.
I'm actually going to have exposure to John Wall today. On DraftKings.
Ooh.
On DraftKings. Where
Okay,
he's
okay.
below 10K.
That was almost CNN breaking news.
Yes, it was. And just because we've been attacked, like the matchup is, we've been talking about it all, for a very, very, very large part of the year. Point guards against Mr. Schroeder is very profitable. I don't think this is a time I'm going to get off of it. And it's kind of just the perfect storm. Granted, if John Wall's 10-5, I'm not doing it. But John Wall at, 9-7 or whatever his price is, it's still below 10K. Where to go? Where to go? Where to go? John Wall is, sorry, it's even better. 9-3.
Ooh.
I can get behind that. So, I do like John Wall on DraftKings. I don't mind him, I guess, for cash games on FanDuel. He's only 10K, but not probably gonna go there. So yeah, that's my hot take. You're better at making that noise than I am, so.
Fair enough. I love the power forward matchup here for both sides. We're gonna have
Oh yeah.
Ersan Ilyasova on the Hawks, and we're gonna have Marcus Morris there from the Wizards. Marcus, or I'm sorry, Markieff Morris. Markieff Morris actually just returned to the lineup the last game. He missed a couple there, but it was with an illness, so no sores or anything like that. We would be intrigued to have some here, but I really like Ersan Ilyasova. He was supposed to be our guy that pulled through for us there on Monday. But again, we've been talking about this all season. Stretch fours against the Washington Wizards. Money in the bank, my friends. This is where Ersan could definitely take over. I know the Wizards, I believe, are I know it's the Hornets in that last matchup that I was trying to say, where the Hornets allow the most 3-point attempts. I believe the Wizards are one of the worst 3-point defending teams. If not, they're not very good either. So, I would certainly take my chances on Ersan in this game. The one thing that makes me a little bit nervous about Ersan is that we kind of have to rely on him for scoring, because without, Paul Millsap, obviously that's why he's on the court, but if Dwight Howard is the main big out there, he's basically going to swallow up all the rebounds. But I think Ersan should be okay enough. I mean, 2 games ago, he went off for what, 38 FanDuel points, and I think it was okay. I see this being a pretty high scoring game, so I think Ersan should be fine.
Yep, and he should be a little bit lower on just because of the way that he kind of performed
Yeah.
last game. So,
Totally.
I
Yeah,
really
we
do
got.
like that.
Ersan is on 3 of the top 5 domination station lineups that were pulled there with 3 uniques. So they're liking him. We'll say that.
And it's not a bad guy to like, you know.
No.
He's definitely not. So, I think he's definitely in play. What are we doing with Dwight Howard versus Marcin Gortat?
Love it.
Okay.
Yeah,
That's all, I mean, that's
what
really all
do
you had to say, because I was along the same aspect, but I'm like, eh, Dwight Howard, his price is starting to get back up there because he started to perform a little bit better. Do I really want to go to him here? Do I really? I mean,
I mean, it's not that bad. The price, what, 6,800 on FanDuel, not sure on DraftKings. But what's pretty interesting about this matchup is that Gortat and this is fascinating when you look back at it. But back when they were these guys were both on the Magic. This was a this,
Yeah,
this these were
Gortat
the
was
centers for the
his
Magic at one point.
when they went to the finals.
Yeah, that's amazing. But one I read something the last time that these two played, and they both pretty much know each other very well, and how they play and all that kind of stuff. It's worked out well for Howard in 2 of these games here. I mean, all three weren't, they didn't kill your night, but when we're talking about fantasy points here for Howard against the Wizards, FanDuel wise, 41.8, 35.9, 30.1. DraftKings looks a lot more sexier because of the double doubles. In terms of DKP, we're looking at 45.8, 40, and 33.8. But nonetheless, these are all very good, point totals for Howard. None, again, that really aren't going to kill your night. So yeah, I mean, Atlanta's got all this value, and the Wizards aren't really playing as good a defense as they have. They have taken on some of these high-powered Western Conference teams lately, but again, I think that the Hawks can be our value plays once again, and we shouldn't be too scared of it.
Yeah, exactly. So
Except for point guard, which you brought up the last what was that, yesterday when we were talking about the top 5 teams against point guards?
And I think Dennis Schroder's, I think this is going to be a popular, ping pong pairing. And I'm not even like Dennis Schroder's not even like in my top 10, I think, at point guards tonight. So
I
I'm not really worried about that.
All right. It could be more from this game. I see Tim Hardaway Jr. popping up all over the domination station. What do you think they're seeing from him?
I love it. Love it. Love it. He's not going to be highly owned, in my opinion, because he hasn't really – it sounds like we're propping a Viagra commercial or an ED commercial. He hasn't really performed up to expectations.
By the way, if anybody's
lately.
Got any samples, send them this way.
I'm
just saying, I've never had one. I want to see what it's like.
Yeah. Okay. More than 4 hours, go to the doctor. But you know, he hasn't there for a while. It was Tim Hardaway Jr. week. Now he's kind of tapered off. He, you know, had a. I think people are gonna the game log watchers are gonna look at that game against Charlotte and go, oh, 14.7 FanDuel points. Well, yeah, but you're going against Nicholas Batum, who's one of the better shooting guard defenders in the NBA. So I love Tim Hardaway Jr. tonight.
Valentine's Day kind of love. Yeah, if you look at you know, I'm not trying to look at the game log, but I remember I'm gonna post the picture again, but you know, just Hardaway's games, you know, over the last 10, I believe it was, it's been so freaking consistent, right around like the 25 to, you know, we'll say like 33 point range right there in terms of fantasy points. But, you know, you got the two dips right there at the 14 and the 15, both not really good matchups. One was against the Grizzlies, the other there against the Hornets. So, I mean, you know, you can live with that, I guess, twice in, what, 10 games. But, yeah, this is a good matchup. And, again, the domination station likes it, so you should too.
Yep.
And you should too. So, basically, if any of our Vegas bettors out there are listening to the show, right, so we've got Ersan Ilyasova, Tim Hardaway Jr., both three-point specialists in this game that the domination station is loving. Doesn't really take much to read between the lines here, but again, I think a lot of points are going to be showing up in this game. So even your John Wall on DraftKings play is going to go through the roof here as well.
Yeah, I think I'm not expecting him to get over 60, but you know, just because that's kind of what his ceiling is. We've talked about it, you know, at length this season. But you know, when he's 9,300, then you know, 60 is phenomenal, and I'll take that. You know, every day I can get it. So
sure. All right, let's move it along here. We got the Philadelphia 76ers at your OKC Thunder. Thunder 10.5-point favorites here, -700 on the money line, a total of 219.5. Thunder won the only meeting this season, if you remember. That was back on opening night in Philly with your middle finger friend there. The 6-point win there at Philly. Thunder actually have won the last 5 games against the Sixers, but have only covered once in those 5 meetings. 4 of the last 5 Sixers-Thunders games have gone under the total. I'm going to call this one the Vegas special of the night, because both teams and their situations tonight are remarkable. It's amazing. I'm not even going to – there's so many scenarios where both teams are good – or amazing, I should say, against the spread tonight. This is just too much to handle. Let us begin – a couple – I guess the only injury news here, Jahlil Okafor still listed as questionable. That could be big for Rishaun Holmes. But let's begin with your OKC Thunder, because I have a lot of interest in them tonight. Second highest implied team total on the slate. And honestly, there's no way that Russell Westbrook makes it out of tonight without being in my lineup.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even care if I were mass multi-entry folk. 100%.
Yeah, he's going to be – he always is. I don't ever question – question it at all. Now, the original, you know, 50 in lineups that I made without, you know, all I do when I run my, you know, placeholder lineups, in case shit hits the bed and I can't get back to it, is I set a max
shit
exposure.
Hits the bed. I like that one.
Is I set a max
it's
exposure
like a proper
at
way of saying
70,
it.
And I think Russell Westbrook showed up in like 68% of them.
Oh my.
So, yeah, he's obviously, you know, the top point guard option of the night, and if you think that he's not, then you know, whatever.
So, you know, you're being so polite in this game breakdown. What happened?
Um, But yeah, it's okay. Jahlil Okafor, if he's out or in, I don't care. Steven Adams is in play. I think that Victor Oladipo, Andre Robertson, Taj Gibson. Heck, I could even go for some Doug McDermott. I think they're
that big sloppy.
Yeah, sure. You can. I'm probably not, but that's a personal bias right now.
Okay.
But he's in play. He's going to get the minutes. Yeah. He can get a double-double. He can get you 30 fantasy points in 20 minutes. If he gets any longer run, you know, if Steven Adams gets into foul trouble or if he's out there during mop-up duty or whatever, then sure, that could work out really good. But, you know, I'm not bending over backwards to get him in my lineup tonight. But that's more of, like I said, that's more of a personal thing.
Sure.
I would much rather play Steven Adams just because I know he's going to play, you know, 30 minutes rather than 20.
Yeah, the numbers for centers against the Sixers lately have been stupid. Like, everyone's having a career game against them. You know, we saw, what, DeAndre Jordan, hell. He even had, like, 50-something against them. Nikola Vucevic the other night had a very good game. You know, everybody is just having a career night, as I like to say, on a nightly basis. So, yeah, I could certainly go with there. Adam's pretty cheap here, too. So, you know, in terms of your guys like, you know, if you want to go Dwight Howard, Al Horford, guys like that, you can definitely get yourself some decent points here at a cheap price, $4,900 on FanDuel for Steven Adams. And, yeah, regardless of, you know, I mean, if Okafor's in, good, better for everyone. But even so, people are putting up points.
Yep,
centers especially. Victor Oladipo is another guy I kind of wanted to talk about because he's been pretty solid here of late. The exact numbers on him, he's posted at least 30 FanDuel points in 5 of the last 6 games. A little bit cheaper there on FanDuel than DraftKings, but you know he's going to have a good matchup one way or the other. I guess maybe he draws Covington. I could probably see that. I could put Rocco.
No, who draws?
Oh, Oladipo.
I think Taj Gibson does.
Covington?
Yes. Because they're not going to waste Covington on Andre Robertson.
No, I was going to say, but no, I was saying Covington on Oladipo.
I mean, I guess I could see it, but I could see Oladipo just blowing by him.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I mean, looks like a – if we want to talk about pounding into the paint, yeah, I mean, that's a mismatch for Rocco. But, I mean, we're talking about, what, a 6'8 guy versus a 6'3 guy in, like, 60 pounds probably? I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking that Rocco's bigger than he actually is. But, yeah, that just seems like a big size disadvantage that, you know, and – make no mistake about it. If that's the way it ends up going, I don't want anything to do with Victor Oladipo as far as, you know, a cash game play. And I was kind of thinking that he was a cash game play.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But, I mean, does Rocco have the speed to kind of keep up with Oladipo if he drives? I don't know. This is... Since this was the first game of the year and both of these teams have changed so much since then, can't get – I mean, the only thing that we know is that, you know, we can glean the types of minutes that these teams are playing right now. As far as matchups are concerned, toss it up in the air, and if you analyze it correctly, you're probably going to win.
Hey, congratulations. You win the big blue stuff there. all right. In terms of the Sixers – Rashawn Holmes has gone all the way up to 6,100 on FanDuel. On DraftKings, he is at 6,200. So, you know, same on both sides. Could you go here with Holmes, or is the price increase way too much?
No, I can go here because I think he's going to... I don't like the matchup with Steven Adams, but I do like the matchup with Enos Kanter.
Okay.
This is something I'm going to have to think on, to be completely honest, because if Okafor is out, and it doesn't matter because he still plays the backup, I want to. I really, really do. But I think that tonight might be the night to kind of hop off the Rashawn Holmes bandwagon and stick with who do we have interest in on the Sixers?
Like, see, a little bit. Dario Saric, TJ McConnell. I think, you know, there's some interest there.
Okay, yeah, we can go with Saric. Although Taj Gibson is somebody that I think can kind of hang with him a little bit. Maybe not fully, but at least slow him down a little bit as long as he stays out of foul trouble. Because Taj is pretty scrappy.
I was going to say, like, Saric, you know, I feel like he could do well against Taj on the perimeter. I mean, you know, we've seen him do well matched up against Draymond Green before. You know, he didn't get totally shut down. I mean, this is a, you know, kind of an off-the-wall play. Saric, actually, the other night was only 10% owned because, you know, Rashawn Holmes being so expensive. You know, he only played 26 minutes in that last game. I don't know why that was, but interesting to note nonetheless. I gotta look into that. But
maybe foul trouble.
I mean, look, we know the guy. He's capable of putting up upwards of 40 fantasy points, so could be a thing. And then TJ McConnell, he's had some pretty good games here of late. If he's gonna go back and forth with Westbrook, my only issue with him is, does he get in foul trouble against Westbrook? I mean, we know, again, McConnell, we talk about him being a better pain in the ass defender than an actual, you know, technique defender. I could see him being somewhat, you know, too aggressive, but I could also see him stepping up to this challenge. You know, McConnell, he's had some pretty good games here, so I could be swayed that way.
Somebody's going to get in foul trouble in the not only in the backcourt for the Sixers, but the front court, because Russell Westbrook is just going to absolutely just tear these guys anew. Yeah. So, I can see that. It's something that, I mean, I'm not deterring from Russell Westbrook at all, and I don't think you should, but I'm trying to sit here and think, who do I want to kind of correlate him with? And the best answer might be Dario Saric, because Robert Covington, barring Andre Robertson getting into foul trouble, has probably got the toughest matchup of the night. Uh-huh. You know, and then next would be the Rashawn Holmes, Jahlil Okafor combo with Steven Adams. And then I would probably put Victor Oladipo, so Nick Stauskas and whoever else they decide to throw out there at the two, and then you would go Dario Saric, and then TJ McConnell. So that's from worst to best, mind you. Maybe, I mean, you could probably even make a case for flip-flopping Saric and McConnell as well. So
I came across a gold mine here, but I'm going to tease it for everyone. TJ McConnell on the road since February 9th. Whoa. Much better than at home, but I will have the photo today.
Some reverse splits, huh?
In today's article, yeah. Pretty damn good. All right, let's get to the next one here. Cleveland Cavaliers -4 at the Denver Nuggets. -180 on the money line are the Cavaliers as well. Watch out. Upset alert. And then over under 230 in this one. Cavaliers won the only meeting this season. It was a 16-point win in Cleveland. Also, Nuggets were on the back end of a back-to-back that night. Cavaliers 4-1 against the Nuggets in their last five meetings, 3-1-1 against the spread in that span. Cavs really shitty against the spread in all their circumstances tonight. You can take a look at that on the article. We got some injury. Everyone's questionable, basically. Kyle Korver and Deron Williams, both questionable with their separate ailments. Wilson Chandler, Danilo Gallinari, both questionable. And then actually I saw this pop up on the phone, but Darrell Arthur is on track to play tonight for everyone who doesn't give a shit. Okay.
I think that's actually important.
Oh, okay, okay. We'll get there first, but let's talk about the Cavs first. They do have the highest implied team total of the night. Nuggets, third highest implied team total of the night. Cavs, all those great things, and then you're taking on the second worst defense in the NBA. It's the two-man duo again, eh?
Yeah. it really is, and that's something that's kind of crazy. I think I'm out on LeBron. I think he's going to be highly owned. Now this could change all throughout the day, but I've looked at some of his numbers in Denver, whether that be on back to backs. I have to do a little bit more digging, but I'm trying to find a way to advocate pairing Westbrook and LeBron in the same team on FanDuel, and I can't find it yet because LeBron hasn't broke 50 in his career in Denver.
Huh.
On FanDuel.
Interesting.
So I'm a little skeptical to go there. And this isn't like – I'm not even taking like price expectations or anything like that into consideration because, really, honestly, when has LeBron ever been above or below 9K? Maybe when he was in high school. So I'm not too excited there. I do like Kyrie. I do like Kevin Love. If they play, obviously, I think this is a great way or a great place to kind of stack and play everybody but LeBron. And especially in tournaments, and hoping that the ownership and the fact that he has a very, very good chance to not really, go for 65 kind of cancels each other out, and that you profit in other spots and it just shoots you up the leaderboard.
All right. Any sort of sneaky play? What about like Kevin Love? Or are we ready to go there yet? Or
yes, I am.
Should we just what's up?
I said yes, I am. Against Denver, yes, I am.
Okay. All right, fair enough. And then of course Kyrie with the great matchup there as a point guard against the Nuggets. So all right, let's touch on Love real quick. What are you seeing so far that you like there?
Just the fact that it's Kevin Love. The fact that his price is kind of still hasn't, risen. He's under 8K on DraftKings. He's 7,800. Granted, he only has played 20 and 26 minutes coming back. That game against the Lakers, played 26 minutes, still scored 42.25 DraftKings points. So I like that. Kyrie, obviously, 8,600, we've paid more for him. Showed no ill effects of the last or of that knee tweak or that ankle tweak, whichever one it was. Played 38 minutes against the Lakers. Probably wishes they didn't have to. I think if this was on a back-to-back, you would probably see one of these two sit. But since that game was on, Sunday, and we've had a couple days since they played. There's no question in my mind that they play. What I do think that this Vegas line is telling us is that it's very hard for teams to go into Denver and win because Denver plays so much better at home, and they're able to use whether that be the what you call the home court advantage or the altitude as their ally. And it allows them to kind of hang into games a little bit more.
All right. Hey, I just saw some news. Robin Lopez expects to be suspended for tonight's game. So keep that in mind. I know totally different game, but I just saw the news. Yeah, I don't mind any of these guys against Cleveland, especially, if you're going to have Deron Williams not playing this game, could mean more minutes for you know, for Kyrie Irving there too. So, you know, we've got that. Even an Iman Shumpert could be big here if Deron Williams is going to be out as well, especially Kyle Korver too. So that opens up more minutes. I don't mind that play at all. Let's talk about the Nuggets here. And look, I'm not going to shy away from this Vegas thing here because, you know, you just mentioned a little bit right there, but, you know, the fact that Cavs are only minus 180 on this money line, bit tricky. You know, they've kind of been aloofing it along here these last couple of weeks. I could see them getting caught slipping up here. Nikola Jokic, hey, Gary Harris, I mean, Will Barton, these guys have all been crushing it lately. So why not, right?
Exactly.
They are. They the third highest implied team total, as I mentioned at the start.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can pretty much make a case for everybody. Jameer Nelson, Jamal Murray, Will Barton. as long as Nikola Jokic Danilo Gallinari and Wilson Chandler are out, all of those guards are in play. Now, the importance of Darrell Arthur being active has nothing to do with Darrell Arthur being in play. It has everything to do with Mr. Hernan Gomez and Mason Plumlee.
Okay.
I don't know if I like Plumlee as much if Darrell Arthur's in play, because then they can move Jokic back to the five and put Arthur, you know, the combo of Arthur for Reed at the four. And so I think it really impacts Mason Plumlee more than it, you know, anything else. I think it also hurts Wancho, because when they want Plumlee and Jokic on the court at the same time, they can put Darrell Arthur at the three. Or they can run Will Barton at the three and stuff like that. So there are – him being active does have its consequences, unfortunately. Because I really have liked the way that Mason Plumlee's looked these last couple games. But we all know Mike Malone, he's just going to basically say, you know what, forget you. I'm going back to what I like to do, and you're going to play 20 minutes a game. Gotcha. Even though he really should be playing 35.
All right.
So that's kind of my taking on it.
I was just looking at some of the Nuggets notes here. So you have one from today at 9:46. Coach Mike Malone said there's a very, very remote chance that Darrell Arthur will be shut down for the season. Noon.
At what time?
Darrell Arthur.
Was that?
This was at 9:46 in the morning.
A.M.?
Wow. Yeah, and then noon. Darrell Arthur may be available to play on Wednesday if all goes well at shoot around. Just that's your typical Nuggets news reporting there. And then I see another one here. He's hopeful that Gallinari and Chandler will play tonight, but I saw a place where Gallinari was doubtful and Chandler still questionable. So both are very much up in the air. I just thought that was hysterical.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I would not be shocked if we don't get word here before tip off. So keep all that in mind. All right, yeah. Look, I think, you know, we pretty much nailed it down with those Nuggets players of who it's going to be in this situation. I know you talked about Jamal Murray, but any Jameer Nelson interest since this is a point guard going against the Cavaliers? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I have interest in all the guards. And it sucks because with Gallo and with that news, I only have interest in a lot of them as far as possibly being in my core if those guys are out, if, you know, Gallo and Chandler are out. If they're not out, then they're going to be, you know, fillers, sprinkles. But yes, I do have
ice cream again, Keith.
No kidding. But I do have interest in them either way. It's just how much is going to be the question.
Gotcha. All right. Two more games left to get to here. We got the Milwaukee Bucks at the Sacramento Kings. Bucks 4 point favorites in this one, -195 on the money line, over under a disgusting 199. It actually opened up at 205.5, but the fact that it's gone down, 6.5 points here? Yeah, a bit worrisome. Bucks won the only meeting this season. That was a 26-point win in Milwaukee. The last five Bucks-Kings games have gone over the total. That could be six with a ridiculously low total of 199. Not going to take much to get there. All right, Bucks are on the back end of a back-to-back here. They just had a huge win in Portland last night, keeping their playoff hopes very chipper. 6-11, although they are outright on the back end of back-to-back this season, and they are nine games under 500 against the spread versus teams with a losing record, which exactly – I guess that is a perfect way you can describe the Kings, right? You are a team with a losing record. Kings also five games over 500 against the spread as an underdog. Couple injury notes here. Michael Beasley and Jabari Parker, of course, out for the Bucks. For the Kings, a lot of Qs. Tyreek Evans, Aaron Aflalo, Ben McLemore, and Malachi Richardson, all questionable for this one. I thought I saw some news about one of them definitely being out. I think it was McLemore.
Yeah, but he's got some personal stuff going on. So whatever's going on with him, we wish him the best. So,
but is it serious? Because I saw it too. You had Aflalo and McLemore both for personal issues. So
yeah, I think Aflalo had a baby though.
Oh, congratulations! So, first man in the history of the world to have a child.
Yeah,
you got to wonder how that's going to affect his basketball playing skills. And then also John Henson. I just saw this one. He's questionable. That just popped up recently. So don't fault me for that one. Questionable today with a thumb injury, so that could come into play as well. All right, what's going on here at the Sleep One Center, whatever the hell they call it?
I thought it was a Smoothie King, but that's in New Orleans.
That's New Orleans with that Sleep Train Arena. They got. Yes, there we go. Sleep One. Oh, God. Sleep One.
So let's see here. Where do you want to start? Kings?
Sure. Why not?
Willie Cauley-Stein.
Okay.
Scal Labissiere. Labissiere. Okay. Labissiere. Whatever. All right.
Labissiere? I don't know. I just took a crack
Labissiere.
At it.
Good. Buddy Hield.
Yes, I like that.
If Tyreek Evans is out, mind you.
Sure.
And Aaron Aflalo, and Malachi Richardson, and Ben McLemore. I don't like either one of the point guards because one of them, they kind of just eat into each other. So good luck picking.
Not a good matchup either.
Yeah, but that's what we said last night. But
last
then
Dame
again,
Lillard, I laid out all the facts there.
Yeah. So yeah. Okay. I can see that. Let's see here. That's probably about it, to be completely honest.
I tell you what, you know, since we've got the Bucks in this situation, right? I mean, I laid it out, not very good on the back end of back-to-backs, better than some teams, not all. And then, you know, against teams with a losing record, they kind of mail it into them. So, you know, Bucks also here under -200 on the money line. That, you know, that's been the magical number this season. I think the Kings could be a nice low-owned source of value tonight. So definitely take a look at these guys.
I'm not sure how low-owned they're going to be. But
okay.
I do think they are an excellent source of you know, those mid-tier to cheaper value options. I do agree with you on that. Just because, you know, people still have this, you know, kind of mindset that, you know, the Kings play up in tempo, which they have played a lot faster since the trade of Boogie Cousins. I just don't know if, you know, that's something that people are, you know, adjusting to yet. I don't know. I kind of have my sights set on those three if everything kind of plays out. And then I'll go to Milwaukee. So
yeah. I'm interested. I keep getting a little more interest. I know we always hit the wrong nights on Scala Bissair, but you know, I've seen him a couple times here. He's
shown some talent. He's shown some, yeah. Shown some abilities. So I've been kind of impressed. You know,
I gotta be honest, I am not as much of an expert on Labissiere as our own Cho Boy, who's got the King season tickets over there, but I'm working on it. I'm working on
Oh, here's another one. Here's All another right. one. Costa Kufis.
Ah, okay, okay.
Yeah, you like that, don't you? You like that. Yes, sir. All right, let's get going.
That was awkward. Okay, yeah, let's talk about the Bucks here. Bit of a slow start there for the Greek last night. Not even really. I turned it to the WBC, so I didn't even see how he finished. But he is at a nice round, robust $10,000 today against the Sacramento team. So could you take another shot here? He does do well typically against these bottom of the barrel defensive teams. Shout out to Fantasy Labs for that one yesterday.
Yeah, but you know, then we would have thought that he would have. I don't know. I'm gonna have to go back and actually watch the tape because, like you, I was watching the WBC game. So, I would have thought last night would have been the perfect matchup for Giannis to kind of bounce back and snap out of it. I might have a little bit more exposure to, or a little bit of exposure to him again today. I'm not expecting much. It's kind of more of a, I'm on this train. I've ridden it to the depths of the plains and the desert. You know, I'm not going to miss the profit when it comes.
Nothing. Nothing tops the KCP ride that we had, that we all had earlier this year.
That was so tilting.
They're going to be talking about that one for years.
No kidding. That was epic almost. yeah, so I'm probably going to have a little bit of exposure, but, you know, nowhere near my core. I'm not excited about it, but.
You know, it just, you know, last night for him, basically what I saw was, yeah, he just got off to a really slow start. So, you know, I believe at the end of the first quarter, I think he had 2.7 FanDuel points. So for him to finish off, you know, with 41 there, that's, you know, that's not terrible. You know, you just hope that he can carry over that. That hot streak that he rode at the end of the game last night into tonight. You know, the Kings not going to wow you on defense. I really have no idea who they're going to put on him tonight. But, you know, regardless, it should be a pretty awesome output for the Greek. Man, what else? Chris Middleton had a nice game last night. If John Henson's going to miss some time, Greg Monroe could be our Fonz. What are we thinking here?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like both of those as well. Okay. I think they're both kind of in play. Middleton was somebody that we didn't talk about on the podcast last night, or yesterday, and I ran across some stats that later on in the game or later on in the day that I actually kind of liked his matchup and, you know, stuck him in the cheat sheet. Nice. So I do like that matchup. I do like, you know, obviously Greg Monroe's matchup as well, although Costa Kufis isn't a bad defender, so I'm a little bit more, you know, I'm a little bit, I don't want to say scared, but I'm a little bit more cautious. Timid. Cautious, there we go. I'm a little bit more cautious on that one, especially with all the depth at center today. You know, definitely Greg Monroe, So somebody we've talked about all year, he's a great fantasy point per minute guy. He's one of the tops in the NBA. You know, can he play 25 minutes? You know, and I guess at this price, you need more like 28. But, you know, he could be out there and he could perform. It just.
Yeah, I'm interested to see because, I mean, look, Henson's been getting some decent minutes, right? 20, 10, 19, 13, 16, 19. Is this 16, the Spencer 16, Hall
troll game?
Oh, no? My God, that would hurt. That would hurt so bad. But, I mean, look, I've seen Monroe play more. I think, you know, like every time he's played the Nets, I know that's a bad, you know, baseline to go off of. But, yeah, look, I've seen him play plenty of times. Let's just say that, all right? Because I've had nights where I've had Greek in the lineup, so I've watched the Bucks to see what they do. The guy is a stud, right? Like, I don't mind who's going to be playing him on defense. It, for me, it's just all about him getting the minutes, right? So let's take a look at just the last three games, for instance, right? Because he really hasn't wowed anybody with the minutes. 16 minutes against the Lakers. He puts up 30.7.
He got ejected.
17, yes, 17, which makes it even more impressive. 17 minutes against the Warriors on Saturday, 23.4. 22 minutes last night against the Blazers, 23.8. Not exactly the greatest matchup for him there, but still, I mean, the guy's putting up over a fantasy point a minute. Again, it's just he needs the time. And only playing this many minutes, Jason Kidd, I hate your stinking guts.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all I have. All right, and Malcolm Brogdon too. I'd watch out for him. He, you know, a couple times over the last few handful of games, he's popped off with 6x value. So just keep an eye out for him. I'm not sure I'd go there tonight, but watch
out.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a pretty good matchup for him. It's, you know, we've talked about it. It's you know, what are we gonna do? It's one of those things. Like, is it really something that is capable of, you know, coming to fruition? Jason Kidd, he's not gonna figure it out because you would have thought that he would have already. Maybe he somehow thinks that, you know, Greg Monroe is better in small bursts, where he can spend a lot of energy. I don't know, but you know, he's always a tournament option when Milwaukee plays because of that. I think if I'm more willing to pair him up with, you know, a guy like Chris Middleton or, you know, somebody like that, if I do play him, just because I kind of, you know. Never mind. They don't have a high enough assist rate for it. So, yeah.
Another interesting guy here too. Just and this will be the last one before we go to the grand finale. But Matthew Dellavedova is all the way at minimum price on FanDuel now, which is insane. But he's still playing minutes like in the 20s. So if you're doing the late slate tonight with the Bucks, Kings, and the Jazz Knicks game, that might not be a bad option for point guard tonight. So I might even check that out myself.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, dokie. Let's get to our last game of the night. As I just mentioned, New York Knicks at the Utah Jazz. Jazz 10-point favorites in this one, minus 700 on the money line with a disgusting total of 203. Jazz won the only meeting this season. That was a 5-point win at the Garden. Jazz are 4-1 against the Knicks in their last five meetings, covering three of those. This is a front end of a back-to-back. Tomorrow night, the Knicks are in Portland. And interestingly enough, I thought this was very shocking, but the Jazz are 7 games under 500 against the spread at home this season. Still, they should pound the Knicks into submission tonight. I really have zero interest in any Knicks players tonight, but for the Jazz, we've got Derek Favors and Shelvin Mack, both questionable in this one. I could go a litany of directions in this one, but for me, I'm going to go, what do we got here? What? Rudy Gobert, Gordon Hayward, George Hill, Joe Ingles, Joe Johnson.
Sure. I really have no interest in anybody but Rudy Gobert and Gordon Hayward.
Okay.
I mean, I understand it's a good matchup for everybody, but those are the ones I want to attack.
Actually, I'm sorry. I don't have interest in Joe Ingles if Rodney Hood's back.
See, that's the thing back.
He is back. Sorry. Wow, 3,900 on FanDuel. Think about it. Hey, we've seen shooting guards against the Knicks this season. It works.
Yep, we sure have.
Interesting. Okay. Any fancy words to put along with that, or just a yeah?
No fancy words at all. I'm just. Grand finale, I mean, honestly, this is not a great hammer. I think those are the two big ones that you should be focusing on. Maybe a little bit of George Hill. But this game's going to be pretty low owned. It's kind of that standalone game. It's not very attractive. There is some fantasy goodness here, but not a lot. I think it's great for a tournament hammer because it's not going to be highly owned. And it's, you know, Gordon Hayward's going to shoot a three-pointer on DraftKings and you're going to just like fly up 15,000 spots. You know, so that in that case, I have a little bit of interest here as far as some tournament exposure. But other than that, I mean, it's just those two.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah, that pretty much wraps it up for me. By the way, this game is at the same exact time as Milwaukee, Sacramento. So, yeah, whatever okay. You want to do there. Yeah.
It's also, you know, going on while the USA will be fighting for our country.
Yes. Yeah. So I'll probably be done. Also, too, this one's on ESPN, and the Knicks, or I believe, oh no, I forgot. I don't think they're going to be doing a national TV game because of the NCAA tournament tomorrow, but Knicks are also the late night hammer tomorrow. So this is the part of the year where they're on their West Coast, our season's over trip. So always a fun time had by all. All right, we're going to get out of here for the day. Lots of write-ups that we got to get done and get out to the people. Once again, dfsarmy.com. If you're not joined up with us, use the promo code podcast. It gets you membership for a little bit cheaper. It comes out to $16 a month. And again, just, you know, with all that access to the Domination Station, the Slack chat, Boomers Ballers, and, you know, the VIP, you know, projections that we have going on. I like that whole thing where we get 1,000 simulations going each day, which brings out all the stats that we use. So I like that. That's a pretty cool spot. Keith, any closing words?
Nope. I'm glad to see that we are on complete opposite ends of the spectrum of everybody talking in Slack. So as soon as this pod gets out, they're going to be like, what? So
I wasn't even looking. Honestly, there's a situation going on in the UK right now where I think they're calling it a terrorist attack, but nothing major. I mean, one person died. That's major. 10 hurt. But somebody crashed a car into the gate of Parliament up there, and I haven't seen many of the details. Yes, indeed, must save the Queen. All right, we go.
Peace.
Peace out.